Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Talk about offbeat family matters. Dinner with the Parents will be loaded with them. Amazon Freebie's latest scripted satire begins April 18th, 1 week from today, and executive producer and showrunner John Beckerman joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Also ahead, make way for the night manager, a new TV awards affair, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on 46 great podcast destinations from Acast to Zencaster. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. The special edition of our program is brought to you today by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday afternoon, first day of the Big Masters Golf Tournament down in Augusta, which we understand has gotten underway. Tiger Woods, we understand, is supposed to play in about an hour from now. 62 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy to have you with us for the program all about TV's current and future. Stick around. Wonderful guests coming your way, and we invite you to be interactive with the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and dial in, and when you do, you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or Tuner Radio. And don't forget, we have a chat room in business for you. It's SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone or the room. Either way, you are involved with us. And we'll be involved with John Beckerman, live from Culver City, California, after these news notes. Sometimes you can't keep a good TV series down for good. That's what Prime Video will justify through returning The Night Manager, the Emmy-winning drama series starring Tom Hiddleston, to the Tube. Prime Video, the BBC, and Hiddleston are set to make two seasons of new episodes, starting where season one left off 8 years ago. David Farr, who adapted the series from John le Carré's 1993 best-selling novel, will also return as writer for both seasons. AMC presented The Night Manager's only season so far in 2016, with Hiddleston as Jonathan Pine, the overnight overseer of a luxury hotel in Cairo, who infiltrates a group of illegal arms dealers. The program won both Emmy Awards and Golden Globe Awards, including one for Hiddleston. Now, quickies, the annual Gotham Awards will institute a separate TV Awards ceremony June 4th in New York. The organization started honoring TV achievements as part of its annual year-end film event 10 years ago. Latino-owned restaurants and the food they serve are the subjects of new Hulu series Talking Sabor, coming April 24th. Popular culinary team personality Aaron Sanchez hosts. And Eclipse Across America, the ABC National Geographic Live simulcast special, drew 4.8 million viewers Monday afternoon. CBS and Paramount Plus's simulcast had 2.7 million total solar eclipse coverage viewers, while NBC alone had 2.4 million. MSNBC, by the way, had about 700,000, 800,000 viewers on its own. And that is news notes for today. If you remember the golden age of situation comedies back in the early 1970s, like All in the Family, Sanford and Son, Maude, Three's Company and others, well, some of those programs have a connection. They were adapted from British formats, like All in the Family, Till Death Us Do Part, and Sanford and Son from Steptoe and Son. Well, next week, in fact, 1 week from today, that deal comes back in a new series on Amazon Freebie called Dinner with the Parents. It is based on a British format on Channel 4 in England called Friday Night Dinner. And here to talk about it live from Culver City, California, is the executive producer and showrunner of Dinner with the Parents, John Beckerman. John, happy to have you here.
So happy to be here, Simon.
So how did this project come your way? What is Friday Night Dinner all about, and how did it become your show?
So Friday Night Dinner is a show that has had a lot of success in the UK for many years. It's done. Their run is over now, but for many years it was a huge hit. And it's a show about a family that gets together for dinner every Friday night, and things go as wrong as you can possibly imagine. It's a very simple format, and that's what it is. And CBS Studios made the show along with Amazon Freebie, and I had a relationship with their development department, and they were eager to, take a shot at the American version of this format and brought it to me. I took one look, and I was instantly super excited to give it a try because the family on the show had such a resemblance to the family that I grew up with in Pittsburgh. Having a brother that you get into crazy bets with, and the show kind of captures that thing where no matter how old you are or how far you've gotten in life, the second you get together with your family, you instantly revert to 12 years old, and you're back to being the little brother or the big sister, and you're thrust back into the same roles and relationships and all those rivalries, grudges, nicknames, and things that trigger you. And it can be kind of an emotional pressure cooker. And so the comedy from the original Friday Night Dinner and now from Dinner with the Parents comes from the very bad choices that our characters make under that pressure of all being together each week.
So how much of your family's experiences, or let's say the experience of the other guys you worked with on the series, come into play with this family?
We all drew from our lives. You know, the creative decision that I made early in the process was not to use the characters that Robert Popper, who created Friday Night Dinner, created for his show. I took the format, but not the characters, I guess is what I'm saying. So it's a new family, which happens to be named after the middle names of me and my family, if that gives you an idea that, you know, there is definitely a personal connection there. But yeah, I'd like to think that if you ever saw the original show and you tune into this one, you know, you're not going to see a bunch of people trying to kind of ape the characteristics of those characters. It's kind of a whole new thing with just the similarity that they all get together for a meal every Friday night. You know, as with any show you write, you draw from your own family relationships and your own life, and you just crank things up to a much worse, more ridiculous degree, and put them on TV.
Did Robert basically say, and as you mentioned, he's one of the also executive producers on this and created Friday Night Dinner.
Yes.
Did he basically say to you, you know, take the format, go your own way? Or did he offer any other directions in terms of here's some ideas I have, or here's some things maybe I didn't do with the series when it was on in British television that you can do in your adaptation?
Robert was extremely supportive of the direction I wanted to take the show. He never asked, why aren't these characters like the, you know, carbon copies of my characters or anything like that. He definitely made everything available to us. You know, if we wanted to borrow a storyline or a joke or something, we ended up not doing that a whole lot just because it's more fun. You know, those stories are already there to be watched. You can go watch those episodes. But we did include some little kind of Easter eggs and nods to the original series that, you know, fans will notice. But for the most part, he really just existed as a typical, creative partner in that he kind of followed along at every stage of the process, outlines, stories, cuts, and gave his thoughts just as somebody who's, a brilliant comedy mind. And so it was great just having him on board as a producer.
Dinner with the Parents, based on the British format, Friday Night Dinner, comes to Amazon Freevee 1 week from today, April 18th. Freevee, of course, is available on smart TV sets, smart devices, as well as multi-channel bundles, including its very well-owned, which has 450 in the bunch. We're speaking with the executive producer and showrunner, John Beckerman. He joins us live from Culver City, California, in the L.A. area, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Be Televised this half hour. Simon, I'm with you live from New York. 62 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy to have you with us wherever you are across the country, around the world. Make a call. Be a part of the program, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We'll be back with you at our regularly scheduled time, Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific tomorrow. In our first half hour, we'll meet James DiGiulio. He is the chief executive of a company called Tom Gallant Partners, who's working with a number of different programming services on some very interesting television and some other things, too. He'll be in our first half hour. And our second half hour, reset from earlier this week, We'll have the writer and director of the new PBS miniseries that's on Wednesday night following Nova, A Brief History of the Future, Andrew Morgan. It's all coming your way tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific here on Tamavi Televised. So let's deep dive now, John, into the characters of this family. What are their, how much they love each other, hate each other, or quirky about each other?
Well, the line I like to use is, as applies to families, is that it takes those we love the best to bring out our worst. I don't know why that is, but maybe it's because when you're with the people you love the most, you feel the freest to be yourself, for better or for worse. I don't know. But the way this show generally works is that, there's two brothers who are adults, like late 20s or around 30 years old. One of them still lives at home. The other is kind of a more successful math professor who's working in the city nearby. And each week they show up to this dinner, and their dad, played by Dan Bacadall, who you might know from Veep, is a sort of dad joke making dentist. Their mom, who's played by Michaela Watkins, who you may know from SNL and a million other things, plays the mom, who is a recently retired school teacher. And then there's Nana, played by the brilliant, legendary Carol Kane, who is an immigrant from somewhere, maybe Russia, and who has a very unique fashion sense and kind of runs the household in her own way. And I should mention the math professor brother is played by Henry Hall, who's just a very funny actor and brilliant musician, and son of comedy royalty, Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Brad Hall from SNL. And then his brother, Greg, is played by Daniel Thrasher, who is a self-made YouTube superstar with millions of views and followers, and who, proved his ability to do terrific work, on a more conventional TV show type format. So that's the cast. And I lost my train of thought. What was your question?
Well, let's talk about Carol Kane, because a lot of people mm-hmm. still probably remember her from her role on Taxi as being the girlfriend of the late Andy Kaufman, Latka, his character.
That's right.
But other people also
That's
may
right.
know Carol for being the star of a now very famous independent movie called Hester Street. And I'm wondering if Carol, in being on this show, sort of drew from her previous characters to do this one.
Carol has told me that she drew from her own family primarily, and was kind of doing a version of, I believe, one of her grandmothers. It's funny, you mentioned Taxi. When I was wooing Carol to join our cast, I mentioned to her that I grew up watching TV on the floor of my grandmother's bedroom, because she had a TV in her room and I did not. And, not only did we watch Taxi together, but we watched a lot of the shows that you mentioned in the intro, which I had no idea at the time were adaptations of British formats, All in the Family probably being my favorite show as a kid. And so I tried to kind of make that connection to sort of that experience of watching shows together as a family and laughing together, which I feel like has gotten away from us a little bit. And my hope for this show is that it's, even though there's some very mild cursing and very mildly risque moments, it's the kind of thing that, older people and younger people can watch together and enjoy.
A program like this obviously depends on the casting and the chemistry once you get the cast. How long did it take to assemble Michaela and Carol and Daniel and so on and so forth? And then once you got them there, to get the chemistry going? Because it's going to be that chemistry that is going to bring people back week after week.
Yeah, I mean, casting is always really scary and challenging until the people start to click in. And I feel like Michaela was the piece of the puzzle. You know, when we had her, we knew we had our kind of number one in the show. And she was almost to the degree that she was the only person I could think of really trying to get for this show. And we just got so lucky that she was able to do it. I mean, we even moved things around to make it possible for her. She just felt like she embodied the voice and the feel and the type of comedy that we wanted to make. And then, you know, the pieces fell in around her. Carol Kane was the last person to be cast, and that just was incredible. I mean, I never imagined we'd get someone of her stature for that part at the time we were looking. And yeah, chemistry, you know, all too often in making television, the first time people even meet is when they show up to work on the pilot, you know, and you just have to pray that it works. We had a little bit of a different experience in that we had several weeks of pre-production and rehearsals in which we had all our cast there on set, with the exception of Carol Kane, actually, because she hadn't been cast yet. But we could walk through scenes on our actual sets, see what worked and what needed help, try to tailor things and adjust, you know, to who our actors were, because inevitably your characters become your actors to some degree or another, you know? And yeah, so I was lucky that we had that experience, let the chemistry brew. And I, you know, to me, when I watch the show, I see what feels to me like my family and like certainly a believable family. I hope others will agree.
We're in a time right now that more and more YouTube stars, celebrities, personalities, influencers, whatever you want to say it, are now trying to stretch themselves into television in different ways, either by taking their YouTube content and turning it into a channel that's available on smart TV sets and smart devices, like Dude Perfect is, and they just picked up $100 million from a capital firm to expand even further, or in a way like Daniel, who is making the move from being in YouTube to being a star in a sitcom. Well, I'm curious what Daniel's learning process was like to be part of this.
Right. Well, one thing you should know is that he's a legit actor. He's a trained actor. He's even, you know, he's done Shakespeare. He's taught theater to younger people. So it wasn't as though he were just kind of a kid in his basement making videos and then jumping onto a set. He walked into this like he'd been doing it his entire life, is all I can tell you. There are just some people you meet, you know, particularly in this business, who I just think of as kind of naturals or prodigies, like people who just seem sort of made to do this thing. And that is Daniel Thrasher. I think he's really going to surprise a lot of people. The stuff that he makes on his own and with his staff is great and hilarious. And now he's demonstrated he can do this as well. It couldn't have been a smoother transition for him. He's also an extremely hard worker who takes everything extremely seriously. I don't think you achieve what he has unless you have that type of mentality.
In a moment, we'll ask John Beckman, what was it like to stage all those dinner scenes? If you have seen the trailer for this program, I can tell you, or you may know by now, these dinner scenes are wild. What was it like? We'll find out in a moment. We are speaking with John Beckman. He is the executive producer and showrunner of the new Amazon Freevee series, Dinner with the Parents, that begins 1 week from today, April 18th. Remember, Freevee is available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles, including its very own. And John joins us live from Culver City, California, this half hour right here on the special Thursday edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, the promo about TV's current and future. Tom and I are with you live from Nueva York, 62 degrees, top of the hour. Question or comment in our remaining minutes with John, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Coming up 1 week from tomorrow on our program, one of our guests will be Nick Nantel. He's the executive producer of the second season of American Rust. That's the program that starred Jeff Daniels, premiered on Showtime. They canceled it. Prime Video picked it up, and it's running right now. It's Broken Justice, and Nick Nantel will be with us to talk all about how he executive produced it. That is 1 week from tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here, exclusively on Tomorrow Be Televised. And stay tuned after the bottom of the hour, our classic trivia question of the week, 7 prizes in play if you're first with the correct answer, and a bonus book prize if you include something in your answer. So stay tuned. That is coming up right after the bottom of the hour. So, John, I saw the trailer, and the dinner scenes are really wild. What was it like filming them?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, to be clear, the show, sometimes people hear the title and they assume it's going to be a bunch of people just sitting and talking around the dinner table. That is not the show. They get together at the house each week, but it's rare that they even really make it to the dinner table because things get so crazy. One thing that I loved about making this show was that for a family sitcom, it was surprisingly often that a stuntman showed up to either, you know, do stunt rigging or perform a stunt or supervise stunt work. It was a gentleman named Lee. And when I showed up at set at 7 in the morning and I saw Lee, I was like, okay, today's going to be fun. You know, there's physical comedy in this show, which is something I'm very happy about because I don't think it's that common to see, you know, in a conventional comedy half hour. You know, things, we just tried to push, I guess, the form as far and to make it as funny as we could. And that's one way we did that.
When you do slapstick on film, do you try to make it a one take kind of deal so you don't have to go, you know, over and over and over again?
Yeah, there are things that you know, essentially get one or two shots at. One thing that comes to mind, I mean, this wasn't a major stunt, but there was a scene that called for two of our characters, played by Dan Bacadal and John Glazer, to play Hacky Sack, which, if you remember it, if you're an 80s kid like me or a 90s kid, you know, it's this little kind of beanbag that you kick around and sort of juggle, almost like a soccer player juggles the ball. And I had written this scene where these two characters who kind of hate each other discover that they both played Hacky Sack back in the day. And so I wrote this scene where they go to the backyard, and while having a long conversation, they do elaborate hacky sack back and forth. And I handed this in, and I was warned that we were going to have to CGI the whole thing, and it was going to be cost prohibitive. And, you know, it was literally one of the last things we shot in the series, and they were like, we can't go over, we can't, you know, we have to be done tonight. And I said, it's going to be okay. The guys have assured me they can do this. And as it turned out, they nailed it on the first take. Dialogue was word perfect. Performances were great. And the hacky sack never touched the ground. So every now and then you just have to take a gamble and hope that you'll get away with something and the comedy gods will smile down upon you. And this was one of those times.
Since there's a show called Dinner with the Parents, when you talk with the writers in the room, have they brought up, for example, the idea of, well, you know, there have been classic movies with dinner themes like Dinner at 8, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, The Man Who Came to Dinner. Let's do an episode that sort of satirizes that or has characters that are sort of unique from that movie and let's adapt them for this series.
That's a terrific idea that I can honestly tell you never occurred to me or any of my colleagues on the show. You know, I think, not to get too in the weeds, but there's different styles of comedy, and there are some shows that are more satirical, like, say, 30 Rock. you know, where they will kind of parody or wink at movies or shows or stories that have been told in the past. We didn't do that so much. We tried, and there's so much about the show that, that threatens your suspension of disbelief because it does get, you know, pretty crazy, that we tried to keep everything grounded in, you know, real people with real motivations. And I find that sometimes doing things that are more overtly kind of referential or satirical can take you out of it a bit. So great idea. I don't know if it's something we would do, but a great idea nevertheless.
Well, John, if you ever see the movie The Man Who Came to Dinner, check out the character of Sherman Whiteside, played brilliantly by Monty Woolley, a wonderful character actor. It's he did it on Broadway before he did it in film, opposite Bette Davis. It's a great role, and it's incredibly funny, and you feel like when you see it, this would be perfect for your series. But in terms of motivation, what do we learn? I know you can't, you know, spill out all the beans. What can you say about what do we learn about these characters as they as the show develops week after week?
The show is we tell a lot of stories about the gap between how a person really is and how they wish to be perceived. You know, the show is basically a farce. It's kind of a classic farce, and what drives a farce is people not wanting their reputations to be damaged, right? It's like, I want people to think I'm smart. I want people to think I'm attractive. I want people to think I'm successful. So these characters will make choices that, you know, because they do not go well, end up revealing the truth about themselves that they'd rather keep hidden. This is not a show where the characters learn much about themselves or grow much from these experiences. Like, to me, the comedy of it is that somehow they love each other enough that they do it again week after week, you know, even though they know from past experience how it's likely to go and, you know, the cringing shame and humiliation that based on having done this before, they're likely to experience. But they love each other just that much. You know, in that respect, I think the show is, you know, there's a lot of shows that call themselves comedies now and that might have elements of humor to them, but their primary goal is not to make you laugh. It's to explore something, whether it be grief, you know, or PTSD or something like that. And this show isn't that. This show is kind of it reaches back to things like Always Sunny, Seinfeld, you know, even Curb. These are more in line with the voice of the show. You know, I mean, not to compare, to claim, you know, that I've matched those accomplishments, though it would be lovely if people thought so, but that's, at least I'm just trying to say the kind of thing we're shooting for is kind of go for broke, big laughs, an enjoyable escape. And, you know, I hope to make many more seasons of it because it's the type of show that's built for that if we get so lucky.
Your first Dinner with the Parents is 1 week from today, April 18th, on Amazon Freevee. It's available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles, including Freevee's own bundle, which now has more than 450 channels on board. More details about the series online, go to Amazon.com/Freevee. That's F-R-E-E-V-E-E. Amazon.com/Freevee. Dinner with the Parents, first episode, 1 week from today, April 18th. John Beckerman, thank you very much for coming on. It's been a pleasure to have you. Good luck to you, your cast and crew, on hopefully the beginning next week of a great and long, wonderful run.
The pleasure is mine. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome, John. Pleasure all the way. Take care. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Thanks. Bye now.
John Beckerman, executive producer and showrunner of the new Amazon Freevee series, Dinner with the Parents, coming your way from Culver City, California. When we come back, classic trivia question of the week and a special comment, all after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reach over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you love Star Trek, check out the latest episode of Trek Talking. It's all about the fifth and final season of Star Trek Discovery. And it takes place here on BTR today at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific. So all you Trek fans out there, start talking with Trek Talking today, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, Star Trek Discovery, fifth and final season of the subject, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget Best BTR, always 24/7 on YouTube. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised, coming your way live in vivo from New York. Simon Atbaum with you along for the ride, 61 degrees at the bottom of the hour. And we still want to hear from you. What's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? And about our conversation in this last half hour with John Beckerman of Dinner with the Parents. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Time now for our classic trivia question of the week. This is the next to last day that we're offering the question. We have 7 prizes in play. They've been in play for quite a while, and we'd like to give these prizes away to somebody like you, like the free Uber card from AMC Networks, which had a wonderful event last night here in New York at the Chelsea Factory, not far from the West Side Highway. Great, great time. A lot of their stars were there. The free Redbox movie night from Crackle Connect. The 2024 American Express Pocket Calendar. 2 great music CDs, Chicago's Greatest Hits, and the Lifetime Women in Rock Collection, plus 2 terrific books from Emmy Award-winning writer, producer, showrunner of Northern Exposure fame, Jeff Melbourne, who was on the show last year, running the show Television from the Inside, and from University of Southern California professor David Craig, Apocalypse Television, How the Day After, that the ABC movie from 40 years ago helped end the Cold War. He was also on our show late last year. And all that can be yours if you know the answer to this question. What was Quinn Martin's first television series under QM Productions? Quinn Martin started his prolific career as one of TV's great programming entrepreneurs back in 1961 on ABC. That's his first series under the QM Productions banner. We can tell you that it wasn't The Fugitive, which came a few years later, also on ABC, and it wasn't The Untouchables, because that was a Desilu production, although he was involved with it as an executive in charge of production. So we want to know the first series, the first actual series under the QM Productions banner. Again, it started in 1961. It ran on ABC for a season, and you can see episodes of it on YouTube. And we have a bonus prize. If you include in your answer the star of this series, the name of the star, you also get a bonus book prize, The Deerfield Massacre. It's the new bestseller by the author of the acclaimed Apple TV Plus miniseries Manhunt, James Swanson, who was on this program earlier this year. So all that can be yours if you have not just the answer, but throw in the series star with it. All you got to do to be involved, to be a champ, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and where you are, your mailing address, so that if you win, we get the prize out to you. Don't forget, we only accept email entries only. And if you're a previous winner or a guest in this program, you are not eligible. One more time, here is the question. What was the first Quinn Martin television series under his QM Productions banner? What was Quinn Martin's first TV series under QM Productions? Once again, series was around for a year, 1961-62, on ABC. If you include the series star, you win the special book prize, The Deerfield Massacre, by James Swanson. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. If we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning, Friday, on Facebook and X for Twitter. Facebook is Simon Applebaum. X for Twitter at UBC Simon PWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum. X for Twitter at UBC Simon PWBT. In order to win, you got to play in. Do so, and of course, all the very best. Coming up next, a special comment. We'll get to that after we get to this message from our wonderful sponsor today, Wild. Are you out to make your personal well-being more natural and eco-friendly? Give Wild a try. In case you don't know, Wild deodorant, which I use, has natural ingredients that freshen you anytime for any occasion. Goes on great, not sticky, and comes in various and a wonderful variety of scent and color combinations like jasmine and mandarin blossom or fresh cotton and sea salt. There's no harsh chemicals to fret about or worry about. And if you want to refill, it gets delivered right to your door and you also get a special case that puts in and out the refills. You just twist it at the bottom, refill comes in, refill goes out. So simple. So go wild today. How do you do it? You get a special discount, 25% off your first order. All you got to do is use the promo code SimonApple04. That's SimonApple, number zero, number four, at checkout. So go to wearewild.com. That's wearewild.com. Use that promo code SimonApple04 at checkout. And then enjoy Wild. It is the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. Now, as promised before that message, a special comment. In a few weeks, we will be celebrating 15 years on this very platform, Blog Talk Radio. We started on this service in May of 2009 when our first home, NowLive.com, went out of business a couple of weeks earlier. We had known Alan Levy, the co-creator of Blog Talk Radio, had a chance to see him in a special event here in New York. We got in contact, and we got it going. Our first episode featured an exclusive interview with the head of FX, and he still is the head of FX, one of the great firm executives around, John Landgraf, along with one of the key producers of the Dennis Leary firefighter series, Rescue Me. And we've been on BTR ever since. Along the line, we have had more than 1,000 guests on our Blog Talk Radio journey, and they have been absolutely fantastic. What's more, in recent years, we have grown this program into more than just a one-place deal. We are now a simulcast with two other internet radio outlets, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio. And 4.5 years ago, we got involved for the first time with a podcaster, iHeartRadio's Podcast Network. They've been with us now almost 5 years. And then we picked up iTunes. We picked up the podcast role of Spreaker and TuneIn Radio. And then over the last year, we have grown that podcast network to 46 sites. In this past year alone, we have picked up Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Amazon Music, Listen Notes, Fathom, Luminary, Acast, Odyssey, formerly CBS Radio, Zencaster, and many, many more. And that is all thanks to you and your support of this program. And you should know that in terms of podcasts, we get hundreds, maybe thousands of listens on podcasts alone a week. Zencaster alone, we are now averaging on a good week between 100 and 200 listens a week. And on some days, we are actually getting anywhere from 4, 5 to 10 or 12 unique listeners a day. Let me say it again. Between 4 or 5 and 10, 11, 12 unique listeners a day, just on Zencaster's creator network alone. We also have sponsors, and we also have our own website, TuabiTelevised.com, where you can hear our programs 24/7, thanks to the fine people at On Podium. And this year, even though it's only been 3 months and change, we have had some wonderful guests on this program. We brought you an exclusive interview for Super Bowl weekend with Ken Olin, the former 30-something star who's the executive producer and director of Tracker, the CBS series that premiered after the Super Bowl, got great reviews, fantastic viewership, and has been renewed for a second season. Before that, we brought you Maury McIntyre, the president of the Television Academy, who is, of course, responsible for the Primetime Emmy Award. The first time ever in the history of this program, we had a Television Academy executive on. And in more recent weeks, we have brought you people like John Orloff, the creator, the writer, and co-executive producer of the hit Apple TV Plus miniseries, Masters of the Air, co-executive produced by Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks. We brought you Keene White, one of the co-stars of the very popular Star series BMF. I mentioned James Swanson, the author of Manhunt, the book that became another very intriguing Apple TV Plus miniseries, which he served as executive producer. We brought you the executive producer and director of the very interesting Paramount Plus movie, Little Wing, Dean Israelite. We just had also last month Russell J. Staglick. He is the executive producer of the new Peacock hit unscripted series, McPhee Dynasty, Real American Cowboys. The Oracle Patrick, the star, creator, and executive producer of BET Plus's hit series, Diara from Detroit. And also, last week, or a week before, we brought you the unique sister-sister duo of Karen and Nico Chubiskoy, the executive producers, creators, and co-showrunners of the new, critically acclaimed CW series Sight Unseen, which the second episode was on last night at 9:10 Pacific time. So these are just some of the many great guests that we have had on this program this year so far. And we have others that we're working on for the months and weeks ahead. Unfortunately, we have also had some rough goes with Blog Talk Radio. A number of technical difficulties that have prevented this program from coming on the air. To wit, we had the episode a few months ago, a 90-minute episode with three guests on board that we thought we were live and coming to you, and as it turned out, all but the last 10 minutes were not live. You didn't hear it, unless you heard the very end. We had a situation where two consecutive episodes, I could be on, but our guests couldn't be on because they had problems with our guest call-in line, which, thank God, was rectified. And then, within the last week, last Wednesday and this past Monday, Blog Talk Radio had technical difficulties at their end that were not rectified, were not handled, were not resolved by the time we were supposed to go on the air. In fact, I found out about it the hard way. I didn't know that they had a technical issue until I called in 14 minutes before to go on the air, and I hear a message from Blog Talk saying, after your show is about to in such and such a time, I'm sorry, Blog Talk Radio is experiencing a technical difficulty, call back. And we did several times until, with 6 minutes to go and looking like the problem was not going to be resolved, we had to cancel the show. In fact, John Beckerman, who you just heard in our last half hour, he was supposed to be the lead guest on this past Monday show. He tried to get on, like I did. He could not get on. And I'm very happy that we were able to get him on. In fact, to make sure that we had today's program going on time when it was supposed to, we did a test episode yesterday morning, and it worked out beautifully. So we have had this very concentrated number of technical snafus that have prevented us from reaching you with our program, with our guests, and some great, great thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going. Now, if you've listened to this program for a long time, you know that I have said over and over and over again that from time to time, we're going to have issues. We're going to be, unfortunately, subjected to situations from extreme inclement weather, hurricanes, floods, lightning, tornadoes, power outages, electrical shocks, what have you, between where I am, where you are, and where Blog Talk Radio is, that will force us off the air or will not allow us to get on the air. It could be simple as, for example, my computer modem crashing or my cable operator, which turns out to be Charter Communications, Charter Spectrum, that has a power outage or is trying to work to get an outage done, and it impacts our show. I get that. I get that the Internet, while being a brilliant communication tool, is a fragile communication tool, and these kind of incidents show how fragile it is. And we make do with it, no question about it. We learn the situation. We handle it. I'm happy to say that our guests and the public relations people that represent them and the services they work for, they're very understanding, and we usually 99.9% of the time get them reset. However, it is disturbing on my end that Blog Talk Radio has, in so short a time, been having these technical breakdowns. And the breakdown, while tough to deal with, often embarrassing, often frustrating, on my end as a producer and host, what makes the problem worse is that we don't get a heads up when the situation arises. No one calls me from Blog Talk to say, whether through a voicemail message, a text message, an email. We want you to know that Blog Talk Radio, we're experiencing a technical difficulty. We're resolving to get the issue handled as soon as possible, get back online. We should let you know that we can't guarantee that your show will be on the air by the time we wrap things up and get back on the air. So do what you need to do. Be aware of that. We don't get that communication. It's absent. It doesn't happen. So yours truly finds out that we have a problem smack in the face when I'm calling in, not before. I want to guarantee something with you. I guarantee that if this kind of situation happened at a AM or FM radio station, a radio network, a program syndicated like Westwood One doing a major sports event, whether it's NFL football or more recently the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship game, or SiriusXM satellite radio, national public radio, et cetera, two things would happen off the bat when a technical issue happened. Number one, all hands would be on deck to resolve the problem. All. Secondly, they would be on the line with consumers, with their affiliates, if they're a network, with their advertisers, if they have advertisers, to let them know, hey, we have a problem. We're making you aware of it. We are doing our darndest to get it resolved and get you back on the air. And here's where we stand, and we'll let you know. Communication, communication, communication is critical. And right now, my concern is not along with the breakdown, it's that we're not getting communicated. And so we have to get the situation hit in the face when we're about to go on the air. To me, that is unacceptable, absolutely unacceptable. So I wanted you, our audience, to know where we stand. I want you to know that I'm putting in a request to have a meeting with Blog Talk Radio executives to deal with this issue, to find out what's going on, why we're having, particularly in this last week, not one but two technical snafus, what's being done to resolve it in the long term, and how we, as well as all of the Blog Talk Radio show producers and hosts, whether it's Trek Talking, the Key of the Unplugged show, Independent Music Showcase, Erie House, It's Post Time with the Greek, The Mitchell Report, January Jones, et cetera, how we, as a group of producers and hosts that are out to entertain you, inform you, enlighten you, how we can get communicated to know when these problems develop and to get a handle on them. So once you know that we're going to make that happen. We need to do it. And I'm telling you this because I love this platform. I do not want to leave it. I've said before that Blog Talk Radio is a marvelous platform. It is great because they provide wonderful editorial freedom. Not once has a BTR executive or other producer called me up to say, Simon, you can't have this guest on. You can't discuss this topic. Complete trust editorial freedom is critical. And I'm very, very, very thrilled that Blog Talk Radio provides that. And we want to continue to provide that, as long with expanding our podcast outreach, maybe doing a television show, as we did with a TV simulcast again. We're exploring that possibility, maybe a separate show. We want to expand. And we want to expand with Blog Talk Radio involved, not involved. And to be honest, if these problems continue, it raises not only the credibility of us and this program and our ability to deliver it to you, our audience, but the credibility of Blog Talk Radio. If you can't trust a radio service to do what it's supposed to do because it continually handles on a continually has to handle problems on a consistent basis, it turns you off. And we don't want that. Like I said, I love BTR, and we want this venture to continue and grow and go. And that is why I am requesting this meeting with BTR executives to hear what's going on, why it's happening, how can we get the communication when it's happening off the bat, and see to it that these kind of issues do not happen so often in the long run, starting now. So I wanted to bring that attention to you, get that clear with you. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, and I'll keep you posted about what happens. And I really, really hope that this past Monday is the end for a long while of BTR's technical issues. Hopefully they have licked the problem, licked it in a great way. And I hope you're counting on that as much as I am too. So that will bring us to the end of this episode of Tomorrow Be Televised. Thank you very much for joining us again. Big thank you to John Beckerman from the great new series, Dinner with the Parents. Remember, the show premieres 1 week from today, April 18th, on Amazon Freebie, available on smart sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles, including their own. More details online, amazon.com/freebie. We'll be back tomorrow at our regular time period, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, on our regular day, Friday. Joining us then will be James DeJulio, the chief executive of Tomlin Partners. They're working on a lot of very interesting new shows for various networks, and you'll hear all about them and his thoughts about where TV is going as well. Also, the writer-director of the new critically acclaimed PBS miniseries, A Brief History of the Future, is on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific time in most markets, Andrew Morgan. And 1 week from tomorrow, we'll also have the executive producer of Prime Video's revival of American Rust, Gross Injustice, starring Jeff Daniel, Nick Nantel. If you came in late on today's episode, you want to catch up on episodes of this, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, you can catch us 24/7 on our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com, for the fine people at On Podium. And anytime you like on our wonderful assortment of 46 great podcast venues, whether it's Acast, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Odyssey, formerly CBS Radio, Fathom, Luminary, Spotify, iHeartRadio, our longest-running podcast affiliate, iTunes, Listen Notes, Zencaster, YouTube Music, many, many more. As always, we love hearing from you. You are our audience. We really appreciate not only your listening, but what you have to say about where TV is at, where it's going. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, that's how you get involved in our classic trivia question. One more time, the question right now, and this is the next last day we're posing it. What was Quinn Martin's first television series under the QM Productions banner, his QM Productions? Remember, it was a series that started on 1961 on ABC, ran for a year, 7 prizes in play. If you email the correct answer first, include the series star, you get the bonus book prize, The Deerfield Massacre by James Swanson. At simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also use that email to suggest an item for our ongoing series, A Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention one way or the other? Well, we'd like to showcase that program and give you credit for it. So email me the thoughts about the show, where it's at, how people can find it, why you like the show, why it deserves more attention. Your suggestion gets used on the air. You get the credit. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Remember, you can always find me on social media, Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's Facebook at LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter, UBCSimonTWBT. Also, I want to congratulate Sports Grid Network, where I do my Sports Newswire TV commentary every week, usually on Wednesdays, for their nomination for a Synopsis Sports Media Award that was handed out today for best use of a free ad-supported channel. I don't know if they won. I'll find out next week when I do my next segment there. It's usually 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on Sports Grid Network. They have on smart TV sets, devices, Amazon Freebie, Local Now, other multi-channel bundles. So, again, congratulations for the nomination. And maybe we got the award, too, from Synopsis, Sports Media Award as well. Also, good luck to all the Sports Emmy nominees. Nominees came out on Monday. A lot of great people are up. The annual Sports Emmy Awards take place in May at Jazz Lincoln Center. Hope to be there for the very first time in a long while. And also, I also want to say that tonight, Media Village, the website that I write for regularly, they are having, through their Advancing Diversity division, a special event tonight here in New York across the street from City Hall. It's the annual Hall of Honors event. A lot of great people in TV, in advertising, other media will be honored in the hall, which is now in its 7th season. Jack Myers, the head of Media Village and Advanced Diversity, will be there. They have a Marc Chagall exhibit at the location. They get across the street from City Hall, and I'm looking forward to being there tonight. About 400 people are showing up, so congratulations to everybody at Media Village and Advanced Diversity in advance for a wonderful Hall of Honors event tonight. So, again, let us know what you think. Deeply appreciate it. We love what you have to say, and we do respond to what you have to say within 24 hours. That is our commitment to you, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants. They are not say those of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and other carriers of this program. Andy Toe is BTR's general manager. Dave Sonnenberg is content executive. Websites are provided by On Podium. Guitar Fakus is our web coordinator. Today's special edition of Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you today by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. Remember, if you want to go wild today and get a special discount, 25% off your first order, go to wearewild.com, use the promo code SimonApple04, and get that 25% off discount when you order at checkout. That's wearewild.com, promo code SimonApple04. Use it, you get 25% discount off your first order. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Thursday. We are back tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and all of our web and podcast affiliates. Whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it safe, make it great, and remember, let there be peace on earth. Let it begin with you. Till the next time, stay well and stay tuned.